Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Meshe, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. Listeners are invited to call into the show for a reading or with questions and comments. Call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Also, join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. To create a username, register with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hola, ¿cómo está? ¿Qué tal, everyone? It's Michelle. Michelle, your host, co-pilot, guide, fellow spiritual traveler on the soul path. Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Meshe. I'm in kind of a little spritzy spry mood today, as you can tell. Happy Wednesday, everyone, and hello to everyone in the chat room, also known as the Sacred Space and Empowerment Room. It's great to connect with all of you here. Always, every Wednesday, we are here, except on holidays, but pretty much all the time. Let's see who's getting in the chat right now. Welcome, guests. Hey, Tamara. Hey, Denise. Happy Wednesday. Let me know how the sound is doing. And we've got a great program today. We've got Lou Martin, who will be back with us, healer, channeler of the Pleiadian group, beings, awareness, consciousness. And we're going to be, thank you, Tamara, we're going to be answering quite a few questions, email questions, definitely getting to callers. So let me see who's there. If you do have a question, a comment, you want to chat, please call 347-539-5122 and press pound 1 on your keypad, okay? You've got to press pound 1. So I do see callers in the queue, 703-310-916, 640. Please make sure that you're pressing pound 1. And again, that number is 347-39-5122. So, you hear my little tea coming in the background. Usually I just have some juice in the morning, but I had some fahi yogurt with a little bit of honey and kiwi. And I'm raring to get your questions. So again, those numbers, 347-539-5122, press pound 1 on the keypad to get on air. And I do see some people in the queue, so just hold on. So where to begin? Let's see. First of all, shout out to all of you wonderful, wonderful Awakenings listeners that have recently emailed me some great appreciation feedback. I appreciate it. And it keeps my little heart nice and warm, very heartfelt energy. And I want to also thank all of you that have gone to the Awakenings page on iTunes and given some love there as well. And sometimes people say, why do you keep mentioning to go to iTunes? And it's important. It just, when you review the podcast, it just, it brings it up in the CEO search optimization, engine, search engine optimization. So it just brings away, it makes Awakenings easier to find for other people. And so that's kind of what we want to do here, right? We want to share the love, share the wonderful wisdom. And once again, it was last week or the week before, I got some wonderful Facebook messages from some new listeners. And again, saying how much they loved the chat room. That I don't know what programs, because I'm so busy. I'm not kind of perusing, you know, other programs, but saying that a lot of the other programs, people are kind of nasty, not so nice, and that they loved the program. They felt very welcomed in the chat, and they even got some of their questions answered. So I always like to mention that when people mention it to me. I want to pass it on because it's a reflection. You know, our path is all about consciousness, which I always say is an inside job. So it's how we're showing up. And you know, it's not just people calling in to hear what I have to say, but it's the whole energy, the whole vibe. And The chat really, you know, anchors the energy, holds the space, very important. The callers bring a little flavor, some dynamism. And the email, people that email in, Facebook message me, but I prefer email because I don't always get to my Facebook messages because as those of you that are on Facebook know, it can be kind of spammy. And forget about asking me questions on Twitter and the direct messaging me because I rarely look at that. But I do, I'm getting better at looking at the streams, and I'm going to be having somebody help me do that. So, you know, we'll be able to accommodate. And by the way, on that note, any all things awakenings, you have questions, comments, anything you'd like to share, guest suggestions, guest topics, you can always email me at awakeningsradio@gmail.com or awakeningspodcast@gmail.com. Either one of those will get you what you need, what you want. And if I don't know it, I'm sure someone that I know has the answer. It's there. And most likely it's just a nudge and it's right within you. So, you know, in saying that, there's a lot of resources. Also, you can go to my selfinlight.com website, my daily OM course, Navigating the Greatest Soul Shift, which we're all in. It's dailyom.com. If you want information on soul entrepreneurship, go to soulentrepreneurship.com or .life, and also connect with me on Facebook and Twitter. So now you have ways to keep in contact. And you know, there's so much out there right now. There's so many resources, you know. And I got a question the other day, like, how do you know? I had a wonderful lunch in regards to TV project that I'm working on. And as it unfolds more, you know, I'll keep you all posted. But as many of you know, that I've been in talks with expanding with networks and with some production companies. And we got on the subject, how do you know real information? I said, well, it needs to be empowering to someone. Now, it can be jarring. In fact, this person has worked with me before that I met with, and he was saying, oh, you always come from the heart, and you're so, you know, hardly any ego, and you're so nice, and you're so gentle. And I go, I have my other side. He goes, yes, I've seen that side. And I go, yeah. So I do have my little, you know, nudgy side. And my little boop, let me poke you, get going side. But basically, I would say in a reading, there needs to be truth. You know, I'll give you an example. And I think when you're doing any kind of healing work or holding the space for someone, and this isn't just those of you that are, you know, obvious light workers, healers, therapists. I think even being a really good friend, really good family member, really good lover, significant other, it is to frame things in such a way that your truth or your perception is coming out there. With love, sometimes it's firm. I mean, I remember years ago I had blasted somebody. I thought I lost my temper. And my teacher and mentor at the time, Reverend Diane Harmony, said, how do you know that's not exactly how that person needed to hear what you said? And which it was true. That was the first kind of wake up that person had gotten, because the approaches I was using before were, you know, really not sinking in. And I think that goes to the question of, you know, how do we, you know, how, like, managing anger or emotions, a lot of neophytes. I say they're the newbies or the neophytes on the path that think, oh, you shouldn't get angry, or you shouldn't do this, or just, you know, not have confrontation. And that's not true. I would say we are here to fully experience our emotions, our energy and motion. And if you've ever worked with really expanded aware beings, you know, i.e. Dalai Lama, I can go on, Sogo Rinpoche, you know, a couple of my feet, Guru Mai, Muktananda, I mean, a lot of, they have sparks fly, they lose it. The difference is it's not a stuck state. That's what we don't want. We don't want stuck states of emotion. We don't want chronic, you know, anger, chronic resentment, chronic smile on the face that's denying what's happening, saying, oh, it's all good when it's not, when you're crying inside. It's really about authenticity and the real deal, and that's what the soul loves. Believe it or not, this is a playground for the soul. It really is. I mean, and believe me, I'm saying for me, I mean, hardships that I've gone through, I would you know, I'd rather have not gone through them. And if I look back, I go, I could, even though there was great blessings, I could say, well, I could have missed that. But we're here to fully express in this dimension, in this realm, in this earth plane, coupled with the multidimensional reality of how we are in the etheric, astral plane, those connections through the subtle energy. It's about experiencing the whole panoply and bringing it into the dance on the earth plane. And a big part of that, of course, is our relationships as well. I mean, we are in a relational world, a relational universe. Even in space, there's, you know, it's not, there's something within, you can feel something within the space even though you can't see it. And of course, we have in the stars and the galaxies and other, you know, planetary systems. Everything is relational. And when you step it down into this frequency of this playground, if you will, it is about tangible relating, what we can not just feel or sense, but see and touch. And it is about playing all the various levels and stratospheres of consciousness is what's happening. We're relating through, we are consciousness made manifest. So, yeah, it all sounds kind of wonderful when we talk about it. Then when we live it and we go, God, this is so hard. Why are we having this happen? You know, it makes, and that's why I think where the escapism came in some of the, you know, earlier forms of religion, it was the idea of getting out of the body, getting out of earth, like we were here punitively. But we're not here punitively. We're actually here for play. Everything here is a working out, you know, of a vibrational frequency or a complex of vibrational frequencies that have then become thought forms and that have gelled into the physical, the denser physical, or what they call the growth physical, you know, experience. So if it's here, there's a corresponding frequency or enough of the corresponding frequencies to hold it in place. When it's no longer needed and necessary, it's gone. So we all do kind of well to kind of remember that, to move into the remembering, which is to bring those members back, bring those pieces back and tap into, you know, that awareness of, hey, we kind of have what we have here because we've all been co-creating this on some level, and kind of owning that and doing our own healing work, our own emotional work. That's where we transcend. This is where we transform, we change the form, we transcend, and this is where we evolve. And that's what we're all doing, and more consciously. You know, I had somebody this morning send me a message, you know, could you answer this about emotions? You know, so I want to get to a couple of those questions. I will also be getting to those of you that are waiting online, and that again is 347-539-5122. That's 347-539-5122, and press pound on the keypad, and that will let me know you want to chat, you want to say hello, you want to hang out a bit on the phone, phone or Skype or however you're coming in. So let me get to those. You know, I was quite touched, believe it or not, I was quite touched by the questions. Let's see, because there's a couple that lead into a couple. And let's see. Okay, James, thank you, by the way, for a confirmation. This is a good question. There was a couple of questions by him, and if we don't get to all of them, the other email questions, please, if you didn't hear your answer today on air, I will make sure that next week we get to it. So James is saying, thank you for answering my previous dream question. Let's see. Interesting, my managing partner recently told me he wished to develop me and take the firm down a new path. All this will test my current thinking, and I know I'm in for a growth path, exciting and challenging. Now, I want to touch on this a minute before we get into the kind of the meaty, bonesy part of James's question. Right now, everyone is being majorly tested and nudged, and some people prodded and some people pushed into our own next level, our a major growth level, you could say a tipping point. And we're really departing as we're really more in that Aquarian age right now. We're really in the new paradigm right now. And this is what's scaring a lot of people. You know, even 2012, we thought, oh, we looked back, oh, we'll probably get back to how it was. Now people are kind of really on all sectors. Well, I'm not talking just about the light workers, you know, healers, you know, people that are doing more the overt consciousness, you know, work or inner work, astrologers, whatever, you know, yogis. But people, you see it, the political sector, environmental, eco, you know, school system, people are starting to go, this is, okay, it seems like, you know, 2008, 2009, it seems like 2000, it seems like what happened in the late 80s, it seems like, but there is more and more of a visceral knowing, oh, things are not the same. Things are not going to be the same. So the frame of reference that people had even 5 years ago, but for sure 10, 15, 20 years ago on, is lessening. And then, of course, a lot of the new beings that are coming in can't really ask the parents right now, and the 20-something, 30-something can't ask the parents right now, what do I do? Because if those parents are honest, they'll say, I don't know what I did when I was your age. But before, you know, and those of you, you know, that are in your 30s, 40s, 50s on up, you can say your parents, significant others, you know, mentors, teachers, they could say, hey, do ABC and this got me here. You know, this is what you do. This is how you do it. We're rewriting. Now, of course, it's not total throw the baby out with the bathwater. There's a lot that will remain. But the script is a changing, you know, and it's been edited. And to some degree, you could say it's already changed. What's key, what people can suggest, is things like emotional intelligence, healing the emotional body, intuition. What do you feel like doing? What's a good grounding path for you? A little bit of maybe the old paradigm, but how can you bridge to the new? Because you can't, people cannot just close their eyes and go back, even with the school system. Even educators are now saying, more and more people are saying what many of us have known for many years now, at least 20 years now, that it's just, you can't just say, I'm going to go to college, you know, even I'm going to go to an Ivy League and I'm going to go down this path. You know, or my father and my uncle were attorneys, and I'm going to be an attorney, and I'm going to, no, the path has changed. You know, and I had someone ask me the other day, they said to me, well, the way you're talking, everybody's awakening and wants to have their own business, and everybody's become, you know, doing more. You know, a lot of people are trading stocks, and a lot of people are opening their own business, and there's a lot of, you know, healers and massage therapists, but there's a lot of, you know, people all over, and you know, the pieces of the pie are getting smaller and smaller. How are we going to make a lot of money? And I said, yeah, smaller pieces of pie, but more pies. You get it? So you may not have one huge pie with a few people having big pieces of it. Maybe there's smaller slivers of pie, but we, as the infinite universe of the all that is, have infinite possibilities, infinite openings. But we're not going to get to that place of our infinite possibility or opening through, I love the ego. It's a wonderful little, you know, keep good little status quo-er. It's a good learner. But you've got to go beyond that level of the lower self to get into the ahas, to get into where you need to go. And I've seen a lot of people lately kind of putting the brakes and stopping themselves, you know, not kind of wanting to go further because it's scary. You know, maybe you have to move out of being the realm of the socialite or the philanthropist, or maybe it's the husband is the breadwinner, but you need to do more for yourself. You know, and that can be scary for some people. Maybe some people it's reversed. Maybe, you know, hubby or significant other is going to be, you know, staying at home and painting or doing whatever. And stuff. But what I can tell you is, without, you know, with common sense, because the higher self, I do believe, always has common sense. There's always steps. Sometimes we don't see the step. We can only feel it. Sometimes the step seems kind of small. Sometimes it seems like we have to do a little jump to get to it, but it's laid out there. But the bottom line is, in this great soul alignment that we're in, which is a part of the awakening process, the soul kind of likes variety, and it does get a bit bored, and it wants to do new things or just lay around and enjoy nature and just be, you know, while things are churning. But we haven't been taught that in our society. We've been taught fix it, fix it, fix it. And, you know, even that little cliche saying, we're not human doings, we're human beings. Well, no, actually we are here to do. Those little things, we got to watch those little cliches. We're not here to be on a little hamster wheel trying to fix things and make things happen, but we are here to do. I mean, even the fact of just laying around being, we are doing. Everything is getting done by us higher self, by a higher aspect of our beingness. So we are doing a lot. You know, I'll get emails from people saying, oh, I've been tired. I've been having all this, doing all this dream therapy, or I've been doing this, but I'm not getting anything done. And I'm like, yes, you are getting a lot done, maybe not in the old construct of mainstream consciousness, but your healing is getting a lot done. You branching out on your own, or doing your art, or doing your painting, or doing your classes is doing a lot. What I want to say to those of out there, you listening, please be aware not to stay stuck in the I'm still learning mode. Get out there, put your little easel out there, put your little, trying to think of it, you know, your little, you know, sign, or that, hey, I'm open for business, I'm doing this. Take the risk, you know, to extend out more on a soul level. You know, I see this a lot with a lot of healers. This is why I'm doing my soul entrepreneurship program. I'm going to be doing modules as well for course creation and stuff. It's like, The hiding that, and I've been there too, the hiding that we all do. The difference is I keep people in my life that don't let me hide, including my significant other and some, the people that I work with, and also my friends. They will call me on stuff, you know, and it reminds me years and years ago, this is like mid-90s or 97 actually, because I went back to school for like third time. And I wanted more certification, and I thought, oh, I'm going to just take this counseling course, which I did, this holistic health counseling course, and I was going to take another one. And I was talking to my dad about it, and my dad goes, and it was between that and hypnotherapy. And I ended up doing a whole two-year program of hypnotherapy, and then I did medical hypnotherapy. I did all kinds of hypnosis. I worked with medical doctors. I mean, it opened my whole world. But it was my dad's wise words, in a little sarcastic way, that he said, aren't you already a counselor? And I go, yeah. And he goes, well, why do you want to study that more? And I had to be honest. You know, I said, well, because I already know it'll be easy. I'll just come in. I'll get more certification. It'll help me, you know, on my path and look good on my resume. I want to, you know, do more. You know, at that time I was working a lot with healthcare centers and chiropractic offices and doing a lot of stress management. I'm still doing all my metaphysical and healing stuff. And even with within the context of the mainstream kind of medical world, as they call it, complementary or adjunct medicine. And my dad said, well, why don't you want to learn something new? But you know what it was? I was afraid. It's like, oh, what if I fail at it? What if I don't know how to do it? Or, you know, and it was a pretty kind of challenge. But I ended up taking his advice and thinking, yeah, why am I wimping out? Why am I hiding from my next level? And it opened so many doors. It brought what I was doing for people. I was doing a lot of past life regression also at that time. And especially as a psychic, you know, channel and medium, I was able to see where people were going and what was going. And I always had this thought, how can I develop a tool that other people can do this for themselves? But it wasn't until I studied the hypnotherapy that I was able to then have a bona fide way of people being able to get into that state. Same with meditation. And I saw, oh, it's all shifting consciousness. I don't know if I call it meditation, hypnotherapy, trance work, whatever, shamanic interplane work, Reiki, pranic healing, subtle energy. It's all the same. And so I really dived in and studied more. But what I'm sharing with all of you is it's open. Me getting out of my fear and wanting just to do something, to look it on paper, to get to my next level, because that is kind of old paradigm, you know, opened up my world. So I'm hoping my words are going to click some people, some that I know, some that I don't know, some of you listeners out there, to take that little chance, that little risk of doing something differently, you know, because we're all kind of good at studying, staying in our groups, staying in our classes, and I'm taking this class now, I'm taking that class, I'm doing this, I'm preparing. But really, now that's all great. I wholeheartedly believe in that, and I feel you need to have good, solid teachers and mentors. We don't do it on our own. And I think why my work is so good, I always say it's because of my teachers. You know, both in the subtle energy realm, you know, spiritual hierarchy, and those the oversouls, as well as my in-person human teachers as well. But look at your life and see, where am I wimping out? Okay, that's what I would say right now is really up for people, that shadow material. Then James asks, I think people look for love to be demonstrated, and I'm not sure that this is always possible. For instance, you might have a partner that causes you grief on a daily basis and yet claws at you to demonstrate love. In these circumstances, you're probably thinking, God, you're a pain in the arse. The last thing I feel like doing is giving you a hug. In spite of this, you may still have a feeling of connection and duty to this person. I just think that by making love equate to demonstrable signs, it overlooks someone's commitment to another where they are either a daily pain or maybe suffering a long-term illness. Does this sound right, or am I trying to fit a square peg in a round hole? I would say yes. Here's the thing. We've kind of been taught that if there is love, if we are... Then Jesus putting Queen of Measures. Yes, I am. Nudge, nudge. If we have to really reframe, in my opinion, our whole idea of love. And, you know, to some degree, everything is love, I would say, in varying degrees. It's either an expression of it, or experience of it, a cry for it, I want it, I need it. But it comes up, you know, care for somebody, consideration. Then you have to look at what kinds of relationships. Are you in a conscious relationship where you're healing and wanting to be individually and as a couple more conscious, more aware of your wounding, and maybe help others in some form of service individually and or collectively? Are you working on being conscious? So, you know, is it a romantic relationship? Is it a playmate relationship? You know, sometimes I get, you know, clients of mine and I say, well, I thought I loved him, but I really didn't. But they were extremely happy. Well, you loved him to the degree that you did and for whatever it was. So I think we have to, that whole black and white thinking, this is love, that's not love, this is right, this is wrong. Definitely love can look like duty. Definitely for me as a you know, I'm also a bereavement counselor and shamanically trained. A lot of, you know, circumstances where I've worked with helping people cross over, they're not having little picnics in the sand, you know. They're coping, and they're scrambling, but there's this honoring, there's this service that comes through. So, and I think if you look culturally, you know, kind of Eastern, Western, just to throw it loosely out there, there's different approaches to love, even where they have, you know, arranged marriages. I love this show on TV by called Arranged. People still do that, and it's not just, you know, Eastern, you know, Asian people that do that. It's not just the you know, Indians from India. There are arranged, you know, marriages, you know, the gypsy culture in, you know, New York, New Jersey. There's one show I saw that was arrangement with the people from the South, I don't know, Texas or South Carolina, I don't remember. And they say, well, we learn to love this person. So I think there's many components to it, but I think what you're bringing up, James, really, I think we have to grow up as a species and as a culture to not always want the flowers, the balloons, the skipping along. You know, I love it when I look on Facebook, everybody posts, you know, myself included. I'm not going to post the arguments. When I'm straight up on the show, I say, I'm having a tough time or it's tough. But I think that there's this negating of the shadow. There's negating of the grist. Andrew Harvey says, there's this grist that happens. This, when you go through something hard with somebody, and through that, you're tested. Can you be there for another person? Can you be there for yourself? You know, I think if we look, you know, we've gone into a culture, especially because you don't have to get married right now. You don't really have to couple financially anymore. So people are coupling consciously or going to live with their family members or to live in community or communal house or, you know, cottages or something, you know, on a property. So that's conscious. Like, say, hey, I could do it on my own, but there's a lot of growth. There's a lot of heartfelt feelings to have somebody be there for you and you be there for someone else. And to do it, again, remember what I said at the top of the program, we are relational beings and we are in a relational world, relational universe. So part of the new paradigm is getting back to that. And really, to be able to do that, you have to simplify. Because when your life becomes very complicated with a lot of gadgets, that fills a lot of space where you don't really need that human touch, that connection. Also within yourself, for sure. But I've met many a meditator yogi that has a very austere, gadgety, you know, filled life that has a lot of trouble in relationship. Nobody's good enough. You know, nobody eats well enough. Nobody, you know, this, you know. It's like, so I think we're in the new paradigm. We're in that space of understanding that being there for someone else or loving someone else or this idea of love has many different forms. And, you know, later we have Martin coming on and we are talking about the heart of relationship, heart of relating. So I'm sure we will touch on that. Crystal Bowl said, I like that couple conscience. Yeah, conscious coupling, conscious couple. It's not, you know, I a lot of people have been writing about it. And then I have friends and clients that when they have the chance to have a conscious couple situation, run from. I have a dear friend the other day, and but her boyfriend's amazing, and he really opened up. But I was a straight shooter, you know. I kind of am a straight shooter, and I said, look, you'll be lucky to have this kind of person. You drew this person in to help you. You're constantly withdrawing. She's going forward. It seems like she's pushing, but that's what you need. You need to learn to be a little more like her. She needs to learn to be a little more like you, you know. So, and, you know, she keeps saying, I love you, you know who you are. And she keeps saying, it wasn't me. I'm passing on some what I've learned through experience, what I've learned. I've been working with this mentor. Some of you have heard me talk about The Dance of the Lion and the Unicorn. Fantastic book. And to me, it just cuts through everything, you know, what we know psychologically, what we know mentally, emotionally. I can look at it from, you know, as a transpersonal psychologist, I can look at it from a psychological point of view. But the bottom line is whoever's in your life, there's a message. There's a call from the soul for a balancing to take place so that you can have more fulfillment, more soul expression. We don't always necessarily understand how it shows up or how long it stays. But again, this is what we can pass on to those that are newly awakening, is kind of snap them out of the, you know, save them the trouble of being in the dead end of, you know, when I get on this path, like, it's all good, you know. Well, it's all good until it's not, but then it's all good again, right? So it is all good, especially now where we are in that harmonic convergence. We are in that the harmonizing part of the converging flow of awakening. So there is a harmonizing, but one of the metaphysical principles that we are living out is harmony through conflict, and that's inner and outer, so that we learn to get into that middle way, so we're not living out these extremes of the polarity consciousness. Okay, let us see. Another thing, okay, James again, saw a UFO. So Angela, there's some other people, if we don't get to your questions, get to the next week. Now, this I've been hearing a lot, and please call in 347-539-5122 and let me know if you've had or are having this scenario. I find myself bored. I have a busy job and a busy home life, but I'm bored. I search the newspapers for something interesting, but alas, nada. Are your clients reporting similar feelings? Yes. Also, a lot of people saying they're having trouble sleeping. There's a lot of anxiety. Remember, we're all interconnected, so there is a worldly anxiety. There's an angst. What the heck is going on? We can't control things, fix it, and go back to how it was. Those of you that have been peeking into the, you know, what's going on in the United States, you can look at the political arena. But everybody, every country has their own version of this. Again, what you need to do is float around a little bit. Do what you have to do, but don't stay in a rut. You find yourself bored, newspapers, something. But what it is the soul stirring. When you feel that boredom, that means big changes coming into your life. Now, what that looks like could be external, it could be something internal, it could be just a new aha. You know, it could be a realization of a change in lifestyle. This cycle this year that we're in is about departures, departing from the old, whether it's a relating pattern, a type of relationship, a career, there's a departure. Sometimes a departure is just a mindset. You know, I had a client recently who was so disappointed, and she's a professor at a university, and these people don't get me, and she changed schools, and wish I'd gone back to the other school, and you know, and I just don't have any friends here or collegial things, and I was doing some books and collaborating, and it's just not happening here, and on and on and on and on. But I said, but you are here, and you chose to be here. What else can you be doing? And finally, she got it. She said, and I kept saying, don't try to get everything met in one place. If it's not happening at the workforce, that means that you're not to get that there. Let up on it. What you're meant to receive there will be there. She did. She connected with some old friends and started dating again, started expanding her life so it wasn't all about the university, all about academia. And she did end up having a couple, you know, more friendly, collegial, let's go have a tea or coffee kinds of stuff. But she opened her world up. So sometimes what we look at and think is contracting is actually the soul nudging us to expand or go in a new direction. Because our expansion may be other than where we are now. It's like where we are now is fine. So that's what I would say for you, Jay. Busy job, busy home life. And I'm also noticing the word busy, busy. Busy doesn't always mean fulfilled. So maybe, you know, looking at the path of the seeker adventurer, just kind of getting curious about your life. What would I like to try? What would I like to do? I find actually when we're really busy, when people say busy but bored, you got a lot going on, maybe a lot of to-dos, a lot to do, is to do less, to find out where you can do less and to have some little unstructured, more right brain enhanced spaces. Go fishing, go lay by the pool, you know, go to stare at the koi fish in the pond, you know, have a low-key dinner, you know, have friends over and have some chai tea or some wine or something, you know, have a whiskey tasting contest, have a cupcake eating contest. You know what I'm saying? Get into the spirit of play because that's going to raise your vibrational frequency and that's going to nurture you. So, again, the old paradigm, we thought when you're not doing a lot, you get bored. And it is kind of more of a left hemisphere, more masculine, you know, focus of the doing keeps me, you know, keeps me happy or keeps me not bored. And, you know, I have a lot, not my closey friends, but, you know, even my significant other, he'll say, well, what are you going to do at home? What are you going to do? Just stay at home? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to just stay at home. Because I have everything I need here at home. And if I need to get out, I can walk somewhere and go meet someone for tea and coffee, a glass of wine, go get some food, you know. I can stay at home and I can cook and I can read. I can do my readings. I can meditate. I can be in my garden. I can just putter around. Don't ask me what I'm doing, but at home, I'm at home, and I'm not bored. So, but it's the space. It's getting used to the space within the doingness. Once you get used to that space, you feel the divine communion of your own divinity, your higher self. You know, so I feel that getting comfortable with space is really a determining factor of moving into your next level, because the answers are in the space. The calm is in the space. You know, the aha, the tingly feeling. The space is the subtle energy. So, in fact, if you feel fearful, one thing that you can do, because what we tend to collapse in, is to begin to feel the energy around your denser physical body. Just expand out. I do it all the time. I go on the boat or I go out to the beach and I just look out over the horizon. It's infinite as we are. You know, there's amazing possibilities into the space. So I hope that helps. Also, things saw a UFO. If I was looking at a UFO, she was mocking me. Third thing, I'm just observing the world. Aha! A lot of people have been saying this, so let me know what you think. 347-539-5122, press #1. Next question. I've been observing that the world seems a little out of whack right now, i.e. Middle East, dragging in every country of the world. No one has any real idea about the direction of the world or local economies. Donald might be running for president. Crazy. And I'm seeing a lot of 11-11 or 1-11. Okay, so that 11-11, 1-11, I write extensively on that on my Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living blog. That's Soul Insights, the number 4, Spirit-Led Living blog. And I also touch on it in my YouTube channel, Light Being 21. So we can go into that. But basically, those specific numbers, every number that you kind of continually see has a meaning due to its vibrational frequency and what it's radiating out to you. There's a meaning or there's a message. 111 are alignment attunement numbers. They bring you into that harmonization. They bring you into that one as a reminder, kind of that you're not alone, a reminder that all that's happening, there's something else happening. And so, James, for me, when you're saying it's crazy, and I've been feeling it so much, I said at the top of the program, this anxiety, people are going, it's different. What I'm sharing with people, especially when you're seeing, you know, our lovely United States is kind of the little leader in the pack with this. We've seen this shift in what's happening presidentially. What I would suggest is forget about the people, the personalities, but what are they saying? There's an overriding theme. Just like, you know, President Obama talked about transparency and, you know, bringing people together. It didn't happen. And you can go back, I predicted this, that it would not happen. I think it was the 2008, whatever, one of our first podcasts, and we had the astrologer Diane Lerner from PiscesSolutions.com on. And people were asking me, do you think this, everybody thought this is going to be the big one. The world is going to change. This is drawing in the Aquarian energy. And I said, no, because the prevailing level of consciousness isn't there yet. We're getting there, but in the mainstream, not. So, don't expect any hallelujahs, rescues, you know, revelation type stuff. It's a process that we're all in and that we're all doing. But what we are hearing, you know, and I'm not for one or the other, because to me they're kind of all the same, just doing a different dance, you know, different steps in the dance. And, you know, and I'm putting my stock into something that's, you know, the overriding thrust of the universe. But what's coming through is stop being so politically correct, you know, trying to stop censoring. And by the way, I love this, listening to Alan Dershowitz, the professor and law professor and attorney, on a program the other day. I believe it was KBC or something. And I didn't realize, and this is why I tend to do a lot of research, listen, and I did do my own research on this. I love etymology. I love getting to the, you know, derivation of words. Where does words come from? What is really being communicated by certain words? Who hijacked certain words or symbols? PC, or political correctness, actually came out of the Stalin era, which meant when they were harassing and killing artists and free thinkers, that you actually got stamped, though this is PC, this is politically correct. In other words, we can say this publicly, or we could do this ad or this book because it fits in with the censored agenda. Okay, so I'm much more the mindset, I'd rather have somebody say a word that is horrible but truthful and how they really feel. So I don't want any more shadow material in the astral plane. We've been working hard to clear out the astral plane. But when you see enough of the soul is coming through now in the soul alignment where people are waking up, the little self is waking up. You know, the human ego part is going, oh, truth, honesty, da 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 da. You know, so there. I look at these things and I feel hopeful. I know things seem wacky out there. Yes, there's a lot of anxiety. Things are up and down. We don't know what to trust. Things are leaving. Some things are coming in. What's going on? Parents, you know, we've got a whole panoply of stuff. But when you listen and you look and you feel underneath, the prevailing trend is towards that harmonizing, is towards a coming together. So as everything is being dismantled, and that's what that 111 is trying to communicate, beep, 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 it's all okay. It's under control. There is a plan, an overriding plan. Are there twists and turns, ups and downs, disappointments, scary? Yes. But there is this overriding principle, and love is that overarching principle. It's the binding force. So as the healing takes place, and we're in this game of this. So do what you can. You know, you're listening to programs like this, which is great. There's a lot of insight. Get the insight that's, empowering, not denial, not trying to make you feel just happy or good. It gives you the sense that I can now see things are breaking apart, but they're also coming together. I can see that the world seems wacky right now, but it makes me want to reach out to my fellow brothers and sisters. It makes me want to hang with my family. It makes me talk to my neighbor. It makes me slow down, go, what the hell? I might as well do what I really want to do anyway. See, that's what's happening. That's the world that we're creating is going to be more like that, and using more of the higher mind, you know, using more of our higher aspects of being, you know, connecting more with the spirit realm and having that be part of the creation. You know, again, you can always create from this own self. You can create from the ego, or you can create from the higher self or higher aspects of being. It's all creation. We're creator beings. It doesn't matter what. You can create what's less life-enhancing, or you can create what's more life-enhancing. It's just about self-awareness and consciousness. And the binding force to that is love. So I hope that makes sense, you know, that, yes, things are wacky, things seem out of control, but it's just that the old is really dissipating, is really leaving, and the new is being drawn in. All right, let's get to a couple questions. 703-609, you're on Awakenings. Welcome to the program. Hello? 703? Okay. Hello, 310-936, you're on Awakenings.
Hi, Michelle, it's Laura.
Hey, Laura, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm freaked out.
Freaked out, okay. Welcome to the club. This is the freak out club. There's a lot of people freaking out right now.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, last time I called, you mentioned that, you know, some things would be winding out, and for a lot of us it would be things that support us. And, of course, that did happen for me. I lost a few clients.
Okay.
And now I'm kind of facing it. One thing, the great thing is about a week ago I had a breakthrough in terms of what I wanted to do creatively, and found my ideas before were too small, and I had to expand and, you know, do a variety of creative fields that I want to hop into. And so I have been pursuing that, you know. But it's the money question. It's like, okay, I have one job I can work, but I never know when I'm going to get paid, and another job, which I hate to go back to, but I can, the money's guaranteed. And so I'm kind of stuck there. I was like, or am I just supposed to pursue this new area, which I am giving a little work in as well, but it's not enough to sustain me at this point.
Then I would say do what you need to do. Here's the thing that I see, you know, and I'm not saying you're doing it or not doing it, but a lot of times, see, we kind of get a little stuck, complacent, even if we don't like something. When you have an amazing, I call them transitional jobs, and I think we should bless those jobs, bless them and go, gosh, bless it for being holding you in space, but now use that job to really do what it is you really want to do. I don't hear what's in the background. Tap, tap, tap. What is that, Laura?
Yeah, I'm sitting in my car, kind of just parked, so there's traffic going
okay.
by. And it might be, it might be something.
It's not like a construction site. So here's the deal. You make a plan, write it down, envision what you want. If you need to go back to that job, if it's not sustaining, now mind you, sometimes we have to trim. Sometimes we have to cut, not do as much, or, you know, cut some expenses. You know, I'm just kind of giving you a practical bare bones. Or you go back to that job, but you make sure that you're still building what it is that you want to do, that you don't get caught in that loop. Or does that make sense?
Yeah, that does. You know, it's like, I don't want to go back to this, but I'm happy I still have that option if I need to go back to it. So,
well, there you go.
Know,
if you need to. So I would say bless them, it's good. But the thing is, it's just telling me that you need to put more energy into what you're building. And, it takes some time to build stuff on the earth plane. It doesn't, materialize. I mean,
right.
If it materializes, then there is also the aspect of having to keep it going. But I do feel, by tuning into it, I do feel you are on the right path. You are on the right track. You just got to give it more time and put a little more focus. See, this is why they're called transitional jobs, because they're no-brainers. You're showing up and doing what you're doing is enough. You already know it. You don't have to train. You know, all you have to do is show the love for it. Like, hey, I'm glad you're here. You're holding the space while I bridge to this new thing I want to do. But I do feel you need to focus more on the new. There's some things that you've kind of been not doing that you need to do. That makes sense?
I suppose so. I mean, I'm just now getting into this new direction, and I'm doing a lot of stuff into it. But like you said, I'm doing the learning stuff, learning it, rather than putting it out there. It's like, hey, I do this, this is what, hire me.
But that's what I'm saying. But you need to start putting it out there. See, we all learn in steps. It's okay to be learning and apprenticing and put your shingle out. That's the word I was looking for.
Okay.
See, don't wait so long on the runway. This is for a lot of you. You're studying, you're doing mentorship programs, and this goes for the people that are working with me. Fine, it's good you're studying, you're doing your mentor, but put your shingle out.
Okay.
You know, even doctors, are just still doing their clinicals, or they're still doing supervised, work, as a therapist. So don't be afraid to put the shingle out while you're still learning. You will attract whoever's at your level.
Okay. That's
and vice versa.
Yeah.
All right, Mar.
All right. Thanks so much. Okay.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling
Bye.
In. Bye. Put your shingle. Whoosh. Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to see. Lou is in the queue. Yay. Okay. We had technical difficulties last time. So. I think it was Skype. So many of you know Lou Martin. Some of them is new to you. He is a teacher. He lives actually in Ireland. He's going to be calling in from Ireland. And he also works with the Pleiades, Pleiadian beings, drawing their wisdom and energy through. If you want to find out more information while you're listening to our Divine Awakening Dialogue, you can go to universalcorewellness.com/Lou Martin. And let's see. Oh, I hope this is it. I'm not sure. 013.
Hey.
Welcome to the program. Woo! Yes, you are there.
Michelle.
Yay.
Michelle, we did it. We did it. We did it.
We
Hallelujah. Did it. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, we got it.
Sometimes Skype can be a little wonky. It can be, it's great when it's great, but then it's a little temperamental.
Well, so am I, honestly. So I have to take a little credit myself, you see.
I think we all have that side. I love it. I call it living full spectrum. Nothing wrong with that.
That's right. That's right.
So how is it over in Ireland right now? How are things?
Well, it's great. Tell We've had the darkest, wettest winter in the 8 years that I've been here. So we're kind of desperate for the sun. Yes, we're desperate for the sun at this point. Yeah, people might be fleeing at the first opportunity for a little sunshine. But I'm doing very well, and I've enjoyed your show here so far, as always, and I'm delighted to reconnect with you again. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for taking the time. And one of the things, you know, it actually came up a bit. I don't know how much of the program you heard, but there was been a little bit on relationships and love.
Yeah.
And right. And I've been finding within myself, with friends, clients, you know, that this whole idea of relating and relationship has changed. You know, it's changing, but it's also changed. People looking back and go, oh, my God, I look at it this way, I look at it that way.
Yeah.
What do you feel is going on right now with this whole idea of relating and relationship at this time of
sure.
growth for all of us, I guess?
You give me give me an easy question to start, eh, Michelle?
Well, let's just dive in.
right. Well, I mean, I love what you said about, there's a beautiful Reverend Michael quote from Agape where he says, boredom is your resistance to your own creativity. And I really love that.
Ooh.
And, you know, yeah, isn't that nice?
Yeah,
and, thank you. Thank you. I mean, you're saying the same thing here, you know, my friend. It's passion. It's purpose. It's having a spiritual dimension to our lives that's vital and real and vibrant and alive. And then we have something to offer each other, you know. Then we have something to share together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many of us... Yeah, go on.
No, I like what you're saying. So I'm just wondering if part of that awakening in relationship is the realization that we need to have something, not just for ourselves, but to offer each other. That, you know,
sure.
if we're more in that, as you're talking, that passion and purpose, then we
yeah.
are bringing that into the relationship.
Well, I really believe that the planet is, you know, going through a spiritual awakening, and sometimes that looks like crisis, both global and personal, of course, for all of us, myself
right.
included. You know, so the work for integrating you know, whether it's the Pleiadians or angels or beings of light or all the beautiful masters you mentioned already, you know, it's that there is a higher purpose to life, but it does take, you know, really surrendering to that. And so I think in relationship, people are really looking for that permission, you know, especially women. You know, I find in general women are much, much more open to a spiritual dimension in their life and a sense of, you know, oneness and unity where, you know, I find, you know, us guys, we're still quite struggling sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I'm feeling, too, that there's going to be, I mean, I feel like a little groundswell energetically, and I feel there is going to be more of an, not just an awareness, but a movement that hasn't quite happened. I mean, I think of like Robert Bly back in the day. I mean, but it all kind of just, what happened to all that? It kind of petered, it went out.
Yeah,
and
I adore
I feel
Robert
like that
Bly,
may be
Michelle.
Coming.
That's great.
You what?
I'm sorry. I adore Robert Bly. I went to his workshops. I knew him. Yeah, he was a great inspiration.
Oh, great. Me too. Me as well.
Yeah.
Where is that again? You know, because I agree with you. There is, you know, on the feminine side, you know, that happening more. I think I'm feeling that something is going to be happening more with men again, where there is this.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't appropriate how it happened. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
No. Well, yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, with just moving into the age of Aquarius, you know, and water being more of the emotions and you know, visions and visionaries, you know, that women have been, you know, in general, and just pardon me, but, you know, women have been searching for power, you know, in the world and in themselves
right.
with great, great depth for centuries, and particularly for the last many decades here. And so, men, still are needing permission. I believe this is what I want to help to provide, inspiration and ideas and examples, to feel and express their true feelings. So, there's still great shame, honestly, around vulnerability.
Okay, that's what it, yes, that makes so much sense. Because it feels like, 60s, 70s, 80s, there was a bit, and then it just started, 90s, and I could say even when the tech kind of evolution or revolution came, it just kind of got smushed to the side, and now we're talking, I'm like, what happened to that? The voice in that, the space in that, it just kind of got pushed back in the closet, so to speak.
Well, I agree. Politically, humanity is searching for its voice and its freedom, and spirituality and compassion and justice and all of that is an essential part of that. So it's just believing that the world can be a different place. This is the challenge for all of us.
It is that belief. And have you been seeing and hearing from the people you work with and your side of the world? That's why I love people calling from other places. This whackiness, like, okay, things are crazy, wacky, there's a lot of anxiety, the economy's up in the air, what's going on? It seems like people are just in this jumble of what's going on.
Yeah, well, I agree. I mean, since November with the Paris attacks, that was very upsetting for a lot of people. And, the Syrians and the refugees and all these things, and the elections and all of that in the States and elsewhere. But you see, this is the work that you and I do, is that if we have a center within ourselves that is more powerful than our mind and the outer world, then we can retreat to that, we can surrender to that, we can reconnect with that, and that will always bring us back to who we are. Right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Can I read you a little?
No,
can I read you a little channeling here?
I would love that. Everybody ready?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure, dear. Okay. It's real brief. From my guides. It says, heaven is within you. When you can feel safe, loved, and supported, then you can really begin to receive the ideas and inspirations of your guides, of your spirit. Most of the world, most of the time, is distracted by other ideas. You can be in your power now as you didn't believe before. You can imagine it into reality. Whatever you imagine is real somewhere. It's the whole collective consciousness. Nothing unreal exists. Everything is real somewhere. This is a time of discovery. So that's the message that they have for all of us, to really work on getting centered and to let the chaos and the change just kind of flow past us and not get caught up in it.
Right. I love the belief, and I like the centering, what centers. And I find for me a lot of it, I have my own things, but reaching out to others, connecting, talking, sharing. Like I said earlier, my gardening. And I think the not trying to figure it out is very calming, by the way.
Yes. Yes, right. Yes. Well, bless you. I mean, again, sweetheart, it's why I really do enjoy our connections here. Everything you described, is dear to my heart. And anything that brings us back into the heart quiets the mind. My guides say anything that opens your heart quiets your mind and awakens your spirit. And, I have the same anxieties and doubts and worries that everyone does. But, I do have a practice now of many years of being able to come back to peace and to find that, that place of love and peace within. And it's worth the work it takes to get there, because I'm always transformed on the other side of it.
Yes. And I don't know about you, Luke. Yeah, I do, absolutely. And what has helped me tremendously, and it started, quite a few years back. Little by little, and then more consciously the last 3-4 years, is really simplifying, scaling down.
Yeah.
Material possessions. What?
Yeah, yeah. Yes, I'm just laughing.
What do you think?
I agree. Yeah. Well, I live in a 300-year-old house, you know, in a village in Ireland of about 5,000 people, and I actually gave up my car a few years ago after driving around the country doing classes. So I do everything in my neighborhood or online. You know, it's very simple.
Mm-hmm. What is that? What do you guys say about that? Because I do. There's a direct correlation to less stuff, less junk, less over. Obligated the space. It
right.
brings more peace. Even when things are uncertain, there's a sense of peace and the simplicity.
Yes, yes, I like that a lot. Yeah, it's grounded. It's being grounded, you see.
Okay.
You know, they say the higher you want to go, the more grounded you need to be. And why, you know, we can often spin our wheels. You know, and a lot of sound and fury, as the saying goes, without it meaning much. When you're grounded, then, you know, their message is wait until you're inspired. You know, this is very similar to Abraham. Wait until you're inspired and then take the action. They say, you know, the choice is inspiration or desperation. So, you know, which part of us is running the show?
That's interesting. I'm taking my little decaf Americana right now. That's interesting that because, again... Yeah, because we've, you know, kind of were falsely trained, because children don't do this.
Yeah.
Infants and children don't do this. It's learned behavior to that overfixing and trying to be busy to make, like, things are happening. This busy, you know, keep it. But I like, the, you know, waiting, this inspiration, you know, because it will come.
Yeah.
But I think people are starting to panic now, like, I'm not getting the messages. I'm not getting inspired. But there's so much happening within them, right?
Well, sure. No, absolutely, which is why you're talking about gardening or music or, you know, a nice dinner with friends or a good book. My guides, you know, just say over and over again to me, peace is your power. Peace is the presence of infinite possibilities. And if when I lose my peace or I give my peace away or I don't have my peace, then I'm in that Brahma that you're talking about where I'm not enough and there isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just getting clear about that.
Mm.
So the longer we're in peace, we're in peace, the more inspiration can find us. Because like this book that I'm still working on here, which I'm still working on, it's called The Invitation. Thank you. And The Invitation is that spirit... never asserts itself upon us. It doesn't assert its will upon us. This is why people get, as you say, you know, we get desperate, we get impatient, we get frustrated, but none of that is an invitation to spirit. Peace, love, joy, gratitude, happiness, anything that quiets our mind and opens our heart, that is, that's an invitation to spirit, because that is what spirit is.
Yeah. A lot of people are putting in the longer we're in peace, easier inspiration can find us. I'm actually going to tweet that and put it on your Twitter
page. Be my guest.
Yeah.
Please. Yeah, lovely. Yeah,
because that's, I think that is so key. You know, and I know any artist, I remember that I used to be a dancer. If you were stressed or strained, the lines didn't come out, or the teacher might say, oh, you've got the you know, the steps down, but you're thinking of them, or you're nervous, you're rigid, because they could see it, you know. So
sure,
what helps people
you're in your head, not in your body.
You're in your head. Yes. What can help us move beyond that?
Well, like you're saying, I mean, dancing is a perfect example. Anything that grounds you, anything that slows you down, anything that, you know, brings you back to peace. It's like, you know, again, you know, like you say, I've been in Ireland, you know, for several years now. And so I still look at, you know, Democracy Now and things like this, you know, Charlie Rose, you know, what's happening in the States. But, you know, I have a real sense of detachment at this point and, you know, a healthy respect for how bombarded I think most people are in the States with information and choices.
Yeah, too much.
You know, I think it must be quite challenging, yeah. And see, all of that just keeps pulling us into the external, you know.
That's where I don't even, go to the other plate. It's all going to get worked out. And everybody, and I look at it and go, everybody has their role. They're, you know, you show up. Everybody, this is a big company here on the earth plane.
Right.
And know your role and where you really need to put your business. Where are you best served? And
right.
But it's the great distractor, also.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
The
my
too
guys
much
say,
of everything.
Yes, that's right. Mm. Exactly. Too much of everything. That's beautifully said, Michelle. I like that. Yeah. Yeah. And not enough of what you really want. You know.
That's right.
Or,
exactly.
Yeah, and very little of what you actually might need. You see, that's the challenge.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, again, you know, you and I had a great conversation there a few months, and you know, I know we have many, you know, practices in common. I strive to remember that there's a loving higher power for all of us that doesn't assert itself upon me, but waits for me to give myself permission to be received by it. You know, and when I surrender to that, you know, humility and vulnerability and intimacy, these kinds of energies, then, you know, this sense of peace tends to be more and more predominant in my experience. And I'll forget, but when I do, you know, I learn to forgive and have compassion for myself and others. That's the practice.
Yeah.
And,
and moving on.
Yeah. I honestly, Michelle, since the last time you and I spoke, my dear, forgiveness has just, there's been like whole new dimensions of that have shown up in my practice of people and my own work, where it's amazing how hidden our agendas can be, where, you know, often we're trained to forgive others, but we deny forgiving ourselves. And if we do that, if we deny forgiving ourselves, as you know, then all we keep doing is substituting more characters in our drama about our struggle about self-worth, whereas as we begin to forgive ourselves and give ourselves back to a loving higher power, then there's a space for grace, as my guides say, and things begin to really flow. So what I want to say about the chaos and the crisis and the change and all that is look for those moments of peace that you can steal or create for yourself every day. My guides say go there as deeply as you can, and then see what you're inspired to think about differently. See what has changed in your perception of yourself in the world.
Sense is it is like what you're saying. It is a lot of it shifting is really thought. I mean, I think a lot of people are waiting for something. It may happen externally or something big, but. But what I'm hearing you say, a lot of it's perception, how we're looking at things.
Yeah, exactly. You know, let me see if I can say it more clearly. You know, my experience is that, you know, we are unconditionally loved and that at the core of our being is eternal peace. And we're eternal spiritual beings of great power. And the way my guides say it, I think I said this before, is we've created a dream that's so real. We've forgotten that we've created it, and we've forgotten that it's a dream. But when you have this peace, then you start to see through the illusion of the struggle and the mind and the ego, and when you can give yourself peace, love, acceptance, forgiveness, then you're giving to yourself what you're asking life to give to you. And that's also a quote from my guides. They say, you must be willing to give to yourself what you're wanting life to give to you. And so forgiveness is like really central to all of that for me about this at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You
wow.
know, often we have this hidden agenda
as
about
well as
getting. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. I mean, as you said about perception, you know, what am I forgiving another for, but really my perception of them?
Yeah.
And where did that come from? My incomplete perception of myself and maybe of life, of God, of reality. Let me clean that part of my glass, love myself more, come back to peace, trust, as we're saying a moment ago, and then let me think I know what life is about and how to relate to others. So I just feel like I agree with what you're saying. I love that the topic is relationships. That's what my guides say. That's why we come to this world. We come here for the relationships. This is the whole workshop here.
Yes. And I think a big part of the awakening is realizing that it always was about relationships. It is about relationships, and it's about getting back to relationships with, you know, with ourselves and, you know, each other.
And see, as we are so, as you said, as we're so programmed or brainwashed or conditioned, whatever term we like here, you know, to be very conditional and to do things, you know, to be generous and kind and loving to others, but often, you know, we're not so generous, kind, and loving to ourselves, then the outer world kind of holds us as a hostage. You know, we have to like prove ourselves over and over again. But you see, when you can make the inner journey, you know, I've been doing guided meditations, you know, with Lazarus and Oren and many others, Abraham, for 30 years. You know, when you can make the inner journey into a place of peace and love in yourself, then you are inspired to act or not act, and it's much more in the flow of life, and then there's fewer crises, and they're shorter lived, thank God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Shorter lived, thank goodness. Less intense.
But I mean, just to relieve ourselves.
Heart?
Go ahead. Sorry.
No. What do you call this? Relationships from the sacred heart. How do you term that?
Right. Well, it's a beautiful question. I mean, my guides say I actually heard Drunvalo. Do you know Drunvalo Melchizedek?
Yeah.
I heard him talk about this on Gaia TV on his workshop recently. You know that there is what the masters call your heart of hearts, and so. You know, to talk about love and the sacred heart is to, you know, we're all on this journey of healing, you know, and so first there's a wound, and then we search for the answer to the wound, to understand the wound. The wound comes from the mind, the understanding comes from the heart, and the healing or the knowing comes from the spirit. That's the way my guides put it. So the sacred heart is the part of us that knows who we are. And in order to feel safe, loved, and supported in ourselves, I have to feel strong enough in my perception of myself and the truth to be very vulnerable. And that vulnerability, that unconditionality, that's your sacred heart. When, you know, when people have true mystical and spiritual awakenings, or they fall in love or love anything or anyone, that's the part of themselves that's speaking to them.
Beautifully put. Beautifully put.
Thank you.
That is, and I feel like that part, like you said, the awakening is getting not only understanding of that, but the feeling and living from that.
Yeah, well, you see, again, with forgiveness and compassion and acceptance, it's like, and responsibility, you know, until I'm willing not only to forgive you who I think disappointed me or hurt me or betrayed me or whatever, neglected me or whatever, until I forgive you, then I'm struggling with the fear that that's going to happen again. And that's important, that forgiveness is the energy that really frees us from the past. But until I can give that to myself, then I hold myself in this very, you know, tentative, fearful, fragile, vulnerable, in a negative sense, place, where I don't really know if I'm doing it right or if I'm good enough. But when I can forgive myself, then I can make mistakes and I can be forgiven. And the freedom that comes out of that is extraordinary. And then I can feel safe to be vulnerable with myself and others.
So really,
thank you.
What I'm hearing you say, it really comes back to us again, right? It's really coming back to us. Yeah.
Right, but Michelle, you know, it's coming back to us as spiritual beings, and that's again the invitation from God. You know, God makes us, you know, God got us all that is, Mother, Father, God makes us perfect, whole, and complete, and then we forget that and we go into this illusion of separation called physical reality. And to come back to your theme earlier, you know, everyone who is willing to listen to, trust, and follow their peaceful spirit, their loving heart, their soul, their higher self, will move mountains in these next few years. There's absolutely, that's what's on the agenda.
Maybe you can talk, because we have some people in the chat. I think the forgiveness gets a bad rap. I think
if you
look at it, like it's like letting people off the hook or letting things pile up, but there's a difference. you know.
Right. Well, there's three, just very quickly, there's three misunderstandings. Forgiveness does not absolve another's guilt. It does not invite the situation to be repeated. And it does not say what happened didn't matter. It's the fourth thing, which it says, all of that is not my job or in my control. What it does is it gives me permission to learn through my experience and to come back to love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a big part of that, too, is moving into the self, but moving back into trusting oneself, because usually, and this goes back to what you were saying, self-forgiveness. I think whenever we have something done to us, on some level, we are blaming ourselves. And until we forgive ourselves for that, we do it through blaming the other. Like, why? Because at the bottom of it is, why am I in this situation? Why am I still here? Why did I let that happen? Why didn't I see it coming?
Sure.
Why, you know? So
really,
I think when we hold people hostage in the, you did this to me, at the bottom of it, we're doing that because we haven't looked at what we think about what happened, or feel about
what
happened.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I mean, we feel victimized, and we were victimized. I mean, the wound really is hurtful.
We're victimized.
And you know, yeah. But see, until we can change our mind about it and come back to that unconditional, loving, and peaceful place within us, we're still judging what happened wrong and bad and wicked and evil and unjust and unfair. And as long as we hold, and those things may be true for years, decades, lifetimes, but until we let that go, we don't get the gift of what that wounding was meant to help us to understand, as you're saying, about who am I beyond this? Who am I beyond this experience? How, you know, Ricky Byers' line, I'm more than this, you know, that's what we're reaching for. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on some level, and it's a high concept, trust is a choice. You know,
it's all a choice.
To trust, it's all a choice. Yeah.
It's always a choice, but it's mostly an unconscious choice. See, the victim within us feels that it's not safe to be conscious.
Yeah.
So we're very reluctant to be vulnerable about how conscious we can be, you see, because particularly if we haven't healed our shadow to any degree or forgiven ourselves or, you know, gone through, as we talked about last time, the anger for women, the grief for men, like you're quoting Robert Bly, you know, there has to be this emotional healing and surrender, you know, to feel and express what has been denied. But then on the other side of the grief, anger, sadness, you come back to opening your heart and feeling safe to be innocent again. You know, like you're saying here about relationship, relationship is the most powerful magic in the universe, to my mind, because it's always inviting us in each moment to express and experience what we and discover what we believe. It's like an immediate feedback system.
Mm. Yes, it is an immediate feedback system. Absolutely.
Yeah. So for people that are willing to be passionate about what they believe, including believing in themselves and their dreams, ourselves and our dreams, and to be on purpose with our passions, that's what Spirit wants humanity to step up to, you know, to stop apologizing for being alive, as Springsteen says, you know, in one of his songs there, you know. It's no sin to be glad you're alive, you know. It's what a great teacher of passion he is, and many others as well.
Mm-hmm.
But see, people don't trust their passion. That's the challenge.
That's it. But that's what it still goes all back to trust, and you know that I'm going to do something, and I might get burned again. My fingers got burned, but but do we let it hold us back? And I think that's where people are getting pushed right now.
Yeah,
you know, in relationship and in all areas of their life.
Right, right. Well, we really have to. I agree, Michelle. We really have to commit, you know, to what we believe, you know, and it is scary and it is terrifying and it is lonely at times, but here you are and here I am, and there's many, many, many others, you know, this wave of love and light of conscious people and healing and inspiring people is just going to continue to grow, you know, but it's going to be based on everyone's free will. It's an invitation.
Mm-hmm. Now, Lou, I want to touch on a little bit the work that you do, because I know you do work by phone and Skype mainly. Is that correct? And soul mapping sessions. Can you touch on that a bit for those that might be interested in hearing from you further?
Sure.
Maybe doing some personal work with you?
Sure. Well, thanks. I'm, you know, so privileged and so grateful to be walking this path, you know, for like 30 years now with spirit. After I had a Kundalini awakening in 1987, right around the harmonic convergence. And so I've worked with all these teachers and guides from spirit since then. And so what I get to do with people is help people to feel safe, loved, and supported, and know that they're in charge of their own healing process. And then, you know, I do a reading with them, and then I channel for them. And by the end of the session, we have, you know, come to a place of greater self-worth and self-love and greater trust in the truth. And usually it's, you know, a lot of laughter and tears between the start and the finish, and a lot more compassion and acceptance and forgiveness. Yeah, and then people really like bloom and blossom. Yeah, I mean, as you know in your work, I'm sure it's much the same. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's good to have that support. Oh, good. Thank you, Tamara. Put the link, universalcorewellness.com. Those of you that are listening, we're on air with Lou Martin, and you can find out more information about his work and his soul mapping sessions at universalcorewellness.com. /Lou Martin, I think. And can they just go to universalcorewellness.com?
That's fine. Yeah, I meant to tell you that. We changed the website, so yeah. You don't need my name.
Okay.
Just
don't
need
my name. Okay, so universalcorewellness.com.
Mm-hmm. I channeled a prayer around the Paris attack, which I'd love to share with you here if I could.
Yes. Please.
Is that all right? Okay. All right.
Yes.
Thanks. I'm not sure how we're doing on time, but I wanted to get it in here. It's called Prayers for Peace. And people, if they're moved to, they can just close their eyes and take a deep breath. Mother, Father, God, Goddess, all that is, all peace-loving people of the world, unite in one voice, one heart, one soul, and one spirit to bless and to heal all pain and fear, and to comfort and guide all troubled, grief-stricken hearts and minds at this cosmic moment. We know this moment is a cry for love and for healing, Father, Mother, God. We know you are our strength and our courage in the face of darkness and hatred and fear. We know the darkness will pass and the light will return to our lives and to our world. Thank you for this profound, heart-breaking cry of anguish and fear to the heart of humanity, asking for more love, more courage, more compassion, greater justice, and greater kindness in our world. We surrender our illusions of separation, of status and hierarchy, of class and race and religion, which divide brother against brother and man against God. Use me this day for your divine purpose of love and healing for Paris and the world, with good, God, for all, and with harm to none. Let the angels of peace create a miracle of love and courage for our new world. So be it, so it is, and so I am.
And so it is. Amen.
Thank you.
I think on that note, Tamara's putting so lovely. Thanks so much.
Beautiful. Pleasure, dear. Yeah. I didn't throw any channeling in
the mix
tonight. Just happy to catch up with you. You're so welcome. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm back on when you want to do that as well. Open
thank
invite
you, dear.
Here.
Oh, bless you. You've made my day. Absolutely.
Ditto, Michelle.
I just want to say, Thank you. I really, again, I just want to say I'm so grateful to you for the work that you do and your audience and the commitment that people have to search for new answers and new ideas, because they are in our hearts and they're coming and we will find them. So thank you again.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. Thank you. Always great to connect and have a beautiful time in Ireland.
Thanks, dear. I will. Peace and blessings.
All right. Peace and blessings. Oh, wonderful. Okay. Yes. Aho. I love it. The greenery. Thank you, Lou, for sharing that divine prayer. Of course, that was Lou Martin, healer, teacher, channeler. You can find out more information about him and his work that he offers, coming from the heart and the soul mapping, at universalcorewellness.com. And thank you so much, wonderful, radiant beings, for being a part of Awakenings and making it amazing. If you did not get your question answered, you called in and you're waiting, got quite a few people still on air. We're here next Wednesday, and you can call in 12 p.m. Pacific time. So about 12:45, 12:50, we have the phone lines open. And then sometimes our guests will answer questions as well, so it's always good. But I did need to get to some of the email questions because they were piling up, and I still didn't get to all of those. So I like to mix it up a little bit. So thank you all for guiding me as well, telling me what you want and need and like on Awakenings. And I'm always listening. I'm always doing my adjustments. And that's why we have the format that we have now, is because enough of you emailed and said, this is what we want to see. This is what we want to hear. And so I listen. Hold on to the number, 347-539-5122, and you press 1 on the keypad to have your questions answered. Keep that number for next week. Again, those of you that didn't get on air and get to chat with me, join us next week. And for all things Awakenings, guest suggestions, topic suggestions, email me at awakeningsradio@gmail.com or awakeningspodcast@gmail.com. And you can also, if you give me your questions, I can also answer them on air. Thank you, those that emailed your questions in. Great questions. The ones I didn't get to, I will read next week. Thank you, James, also for your insight and sharing part of your path with us. And I know you listen in the archives, and I love that. It just keeps the show so loving and fresh. I love what every one of you is bringing to this program. It's just amazing, and it's fun. Helps each other, helps a lot of people, and helps anchor the energy in the world out there, but also really, really important. It's fun. So have a great rest of the Wednesday. Have a great rest of the week and weekend also. And I will see you.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose.
Oh, now that's interesting. Goodbye. Welcome. Don't want to hang up. The gods that be are keeping us connected. Well, we're all connected. But we'll connect back next Wednesday.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's Soul Insights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.